or two. All right, I'm ready to roll. Thank you, Yossi. Today is Sunday, November 19th, 2017. And I say hello to the wonderful students in front of me and to the many listening across the expanse of the Jewish universe. One correction about something I said in Shir a number of weeks ago. It's a minor correction, but I want to be intellectually honest. I spoke about my dear Talmud, Rabbi Danny Cohn of Stanford, and I called him a small dynamo, a little dynamo, and I've seen him get the whole shul so excited, everyone dancing, and a very bright lady who listens to my shir for years, Etty Steinmetz. I know the family, I taught other parts of the family, wonderful family. And she writes to me that I said in class that Rabbi Cohn is 5'3". She said I stood next to him and I would estimate that he is closer to 5'7 than 5'3". So I stand corrected. Okay, now let us begin. What we're talking about is a very fascinating topic. Again, it's not the bread and butter topic of halacha. Halacha, you have to know how to observe Shabbos, how to observe Kashrut, how to observe Tarat Mishpacha. But again, it's an interesting question. If Albert Einstein walked into the room, would we make a bracha? The Gemara bracha that we quoted, that for a guy you say, Natan mechachmatola basavadam, and for a Jew, shechalak mechachmatol liyureyav. And would you make a bracha? So you saw Rav Menashe Klein handles it and treats it halakhically, and he reaches the conclusion, I quote him word by word, make a bracha, he should be happy that we're not cursing him. And why should we be cursing Albert Einstein? Because a Jew is obligated to learn Torah, and he wasted his life doing what he did and not learning Torah. And Rav Menashe Klein is very, very strong in his opinion. I want to mention to you, and this is unbelievable, that a Talmud listening, a virtual Talmud, Moshe Licht, if I have the name right, David Licht, excuse me, sent me a copy from Yitzchak Kuttner. We spoke about him last year in great depth. In the Pachad Yitzchak, Yitzchak right down the source, Pachad Yitzchak on Hanukkah. You all know what the Pachad Yitzchak is. Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner, we spoke about in great detail, was a Rosh Yeshiva who wound up becoming more of a philosopher than the Rosh Yeshiva that he originally was. Philosophy, he became a Chassidic Rebbe, basically. And what's written up was his talks, his Maimarim, they were called. And on Hanukkah, Maimar Tet, number 9, he deals with this very question. And he totally agrees with Rav Menashe Klein, not knowing. In other words, one didn't know of the other. Rav Menashe Klein didn't know what he wrote. And Rav Huttner, of course, didn't know what would later be published from Rav Menashe Klein. But he feels, too, that you do not make a bracha on a Jew who is an Einstein, who is a great individual in his field, but is not a Talmud Chacham, he does not merit a bracha. And Rav Yitzchak Kuttner concludes this, not halachically, but from Machshavah. It's based upon a Ramban. You look into it. It would take me hours now to develop it. It's in a different world. It's not halacha, but it's very fascinating that Rav Yitzchak Kuttner and Rav Menashe Klein both reached the same conclusion, one from a philosophic, hashkafic point of view, one from a pure halachic point of view. Dr. Marty Lipson wrote to me from Toronto a question for Rabbi Rakefet. Standing up in the Beit Medrash in Anna, if Professor Albert Einstein entered the room, do we stand up? What would Reb Menashe Klein's response be if Asaph walked in? Would he rise or not? So again, I don't know exactly, the question can be viewed from two different ways. Do we stand up for Albert Einstein because of what he did for the world? Asaph is a very famous guy, but I don't know if he did anything for the world that can compare to Albert Einstein or Sabin or Salk, the vaccines. Why should we stand up for him?
Asaph is Christianity.
Or do we have to stand up for him? He's the son of Yitzchak. He's the brother of Yaakov Avinu. You can take this ad infinitum, but I want to come back to the original question, and I have to tell you that Rabbi Turk, who asked the question, is battling with Reb Menashe Klein, doesn't like his answer, hits him again that we should stand up, we should give covered, it's Albert Einstein, but Reb Menashe Klein doesn't budge. But I want to show you something. Reb Menashe Klein, his intellectual honesty is very impressive. When were these answers given? When were they written? 1997. So when they were later published years afterwards, he writes at the end of, let me give you the exact source, Chelik Petvav, this is Mishnah Halacha, the 15th volume, the end of Siman Ayin Hay. And he writes very nice Hebrew, Lacha Chitum Shtarat, Kama Shanim, Hayom Lamed Vav Besfira, it's 2001. He writes that after Chitum Ashtarat, that means after I finished preparing the material for publication, after the book was ready, I chanced upon a sefer that just came out. Shelutuchavit hit Odorut Tshuva. I don't know what the sefer is. It's a sefer that just came out. Did it come out in Brooklyn? Did it come out in Israel? And he gives the source of the sefer, and he was asked exactly the same question. And he answered, you do make a bracha. That when the Gemara says for a Jew, you say, Shechalak mechachmatav l'rayav, that has to do with Talmud Torah. Because Talmud Torah, you're sharing with God. It's part of the spirit within you, the divine. Someone who's a great Talmud Chacham is a great Yirei Shamayim, we understand. We're not going to make a bracha, let's say, on Shmuel Atlas, who leaves the world of Torah and winds up permitting a woman to remarry with a government document that the state of Maryland gave a divorce. Din adam al-chut adini, you're not going to make a bracha. But someone like Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rabbi Yitzchak Kutner, they share Shechalak. But if someone, a Jew, happens to be great, Satan, Saul, Einstein, give whatever name you want, you can make a bracha. Shenatan mechachmato lebriotav. You understand? Shenatan mechachmato lebasav adam. And this brings us into a great philosophical question.
The same bracha
is for a guy. Right. Who are we? What are we? And this is what I spoke about at the press conference. All of us sitting in this room live in two worlds. We live in a Jewish world and we live in a general world. We're all part of the big world. We drive cars. We wear all the clothes I see around me is fashionable clothes. If we wanted to be at the Kotel every Friday night, I used to see great Jews, wonderful Jews, and you would see characters come to the Kotel dressed in robes like Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, what they imagined the Avot wore, you follow? And they don't want to change. This is Jewish clothes. Well, is it Jewish clothes? Isn't this Jewish clothes? I don't know. I saw my Rebbeim were dressed in Western clothes. Moriu Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, everyone I know, all right. And even if you wear a Prince Albert, who says that's Jewish clothes? I mean, Mingate Mitlange Begodim, with long clothes, it was called in Yiddish. Reb David Lifshitz, etc. So you see, we live in two worlds. So Einstein is not a great Talmud Chacham. I can't say he davened three times a day, but the man was a genius. We have to acknowledge that God gave him that genius. Okay, but I have to give credit to Reb Menashe Klein. You see, you're dealing here with a person. He has his own opinions. We'll see in a minute. At times he is very extreme, what you would call machmir. and at times he's very extreme, lenient. I'm going to show you soon that he was more lenient than Rav Soloveitchik, than Rav Cook, than Rav Arlitz. Hold on for Rav Arlitz. But I admire the man. He made an addendum here that so many years later he came across a sefer, and the sefer totally disagrees with him. But nevertheless, he says, with all due respect to the sefer, va'ani al mishmati e'emod, he says, as far as my opinion, Sam, I am not changing it. Okay, now watch. Yes, Yitzchak.
No, that's what I was going to ask. It shows you, I remember that Tzeifel once made a comment. I asked him why he was not reviewing Yochanan ben Zakkai by Jacob Neusner. Right. He said, I only review a book if I feel it's worthwhile. If I feel it's a waste of time with the reader, I will not review it. So, the same thing here. If the very fact that he mentions the sefer,
right, then he gives you the source.
He felt that it was a good sefer.
Right, right.
But he didn't agree.
He didn't agree. And Rabbi Rubin studied with Professor Zeitlin in Philadelphia. It's a world gone by. These people don't know what you... Benjamin, do you know where Philadelphia is, first of all? Okay, Philadelphia. No, he's from... You're from London, right? Were you ever in Philadelphia? No, so what are you laughing? He doesn't know. He's from London. Fine. So in Philadelphia, do you know a book written by an author named Aaron Rothkoff, Rothkoff? It's the first edition of his first book, Bernard Revel, Build of American Jewish Orthodoxy. That was a JPS, Jewish Publication Society publication. In that book, I tell you about Rabbi Revel. He comes to America, but we've spoken about him many times. Rabbi Leventhal discovers him, brings him to Philadelphia. He winds up getting a doctorate at Dropsy College. You know what Dropsy College was? He was the first doctoral graduate of Dropsy. Today, it's part of the University of Pennsylvania. It's their graduate school of Semitics, whatever they call it, Jewish studies. Dropsy was organized. It was the first college in America to deal with Judaic studies on a scientific level. It was in the spirit of Chachmat Yisrael. Many Rabbanim studied there. And Rabbi Rubin was rabbi in a suburb of Philadelphia, Chester. You were in Chester, Pennsylvania? Westchester. And who was in Chester? There was also an Orthodox shul there, as I recall. I was in 1 minute away from Philly. I was in Lower Merion Synagogue, 61 to 62. Then I came to a suburb of Newark where I remained with, that's why I met Herbie, 62, and that's why I came in Aliyah from in 69. So when he refers to Professor Zeitlin, Professor Zeitlin was well known. Author, prax, not orthodox exactly. And he said, very nice, he's not going to review a book that he's not mechabed. In other words, if he feels it's narishkeit, he's not going to review it. All right. I have to tell you just one other thing. When you'll see this tshuva of Rav Menashe Klein, he deals with another problem, which is an afterthought to the heart of the tshuva, but also a fascinating problem. What do you do with someone who taught you a trade, taught you a profession? How much honor do you owe him? Okay? Very interesting question. People need panosa. Here, Yosef is studying, he's a doctor, a medical doctor, fine. No? How did you learn? What, you had 3 years behind you now, right? 3 years, you're finished already. I think the next year you're in the hospital, basically. My grandson is, he's many more years than you, but because he's a PhD, MD in that special program, so they divide his time between medical and between research. So now he's in the hospital, and my granddaughter-in-law is also, she's doing her stage, they call it, internship. So, but who taught you? I mean, life and death is in your hands. Here, I'll tell you a story. None of you should ever forget this story. When the Lubavitcher Rebbe suffered his final stroke, they rushed him to Mount Sinai Hospital. The person in charge that night was a stagiaire. He was doing his internship. He was a student of mine. And he told me that it's very bad to be famous. I said, what do you mean? He said, when they brought the Rebbe in, well, it's low-level doctor's day. You don't have world specialist people in the emergency room. You understand what I'm saying? You'll be in the emergency room. You're not yet world famous. You will be in 10, 20 years, Be'ezrat Hashem. You'll climb the ladder. But everyone was afraid to do anything. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, they started making calls to the biggest people in the field. By the time the big people got there, it was more than 1 hour later. And my students said to me, they should have immediately done the most basic procedures. Jacob, you're with me? The minute they brought the Rebbe in. You understand? So it's a very interesting thought, and I understand it 100%. And I know other stories like this. Lo aleinu, I know two stories where doctors waited for world-class doctors to deliver their family, the children, and they waited too long. There were problems with the baby because they waited too long. They should have had the nurse on duty who's trained to deliver right away. But no, you think you're a world-class doctor. It's like people go...
It's a midwife.
A midwife. So I'm a mialedet. That's the term I know. I'm living here 50 years. I speak Hebrew better than English. What can I do?
It's the same thing. A person who teaches you a profession is a mialedet.
Okay, a very interesting question. So I'll tell you, Rav Menashe Klein seems to reach a conclusion that you have to give cover to the person that teaches you a profession. It enables you to make a living. It enables you to be a mensch. But it has to be someone who believes in the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. We're assuming they're not Jewish. They should be elementary mitzvot that they believe in. Okay. Ad kan, the question of Albert Einstein entering the room, do you make a bracha, don't you make a bracha? Fascinating, fascinating that Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, for his reasons, which are philosophical, you have to see it with the Ramban, the difference between a Jew and a Goy, and knowledge and Torah knowledge, leave it to Rav Kuttner, kedako bekodesh. But now we come to another problem, which is halacha lemaisa. We all face it, and on this issue, Rav Menashe Klein is more lenient than Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Cook, Rav Ari Lichtenstein, etc. Do me a favor, turn off the, I have it on heat, just turn it off, it's probably going to be fine without any artificial help. Shkoyach. I want to give two words of introduction. One word, historic. Tell me. We are from Jews sitting in this room. We might very well be in the minority of from Jews today. I don't see anyone here wearing black, wearing a black hat, white shirt, black pants, uniform. Why is the uniform so important? To be a from Jew, you're rebelling against the world. The world today is a different world. The world compared to the way we were growing up, it's infinitely different. I need not elaborate. You all read newspapers, hear news. You all see in Australia, 62% of the population voted in favor of same-sex marriages. It's beyond comprehension. Humans, beyond words. We are rebelling against the world. We believe we're from. When you're a rebel, you want to show the cause. You like to wear a uniform. You have to show you're different. The Communist Revolution, 100 years ago. Money is not important. The state. You see the way the communists dress? Communist China until recently. Go back to Russia in 1917, 1927, 1937, 47, 57, 67, even 77. A good communist didn't wear a tie, didn't wear a suit. The simplest clothes. Clothes is unimportant. That's a Western invention to ruin, take the money. The capitalists, the manufacturers want to rob the money from the masses. A rebellion. Red scarf. Tell me, what was the first great modern rebellion in Torah history? Hasidic world? Oh my. they rebel. New world, not learning, davening, singing, dancing. It's not the Rosh Yeshiva, Chassidic Rebbe, the miracles. Well, you're rebelling, you got to make a change. They made a tremendous change. They switched the Ashkenaz davening to Sfad, and some even switched further, Nusach HaRig. And let me tell you, davening is very important for a Jew. The first thing in the morning, you wake up. All I can tell you is, you go to shul, you want to be at home with the Nusach. I've been davening Ashkenaz all my life. You're a Chassid, you daven Sfad. You're a Chabadnik, you daven Nusach HaRi. You're different, you made a change. Forget, the Chassidim made other changes. Their clothes, their lifestyle, their thinking. You have a yard site. Mori Rebbe of Soloveitchik had a yard site. He sat in his classroom and taught Mishnah from about 10 o'clock till 1:30 when they could daven Mincha. Taught fasting. Hello. A chassid has a yard site. Allah Chaim, Zaldu Neshama, someone just recorded me. It's unbelievable. People who grew up in Israel, they don't know any Yiddish. And when we have a yahrzeit in the shul and you give a little lekach and bramfen, brandy and drink and cake, so every, you know, the old timers, and I'm again an old timer, so you say, Zaldu Neshama Haben Aliyah, and Ali Yidna Yeshua, and Ali Kranka Rafua, and this wonderful individual from the Shur family, you drink their wine. They have a big winery for over 130, 40 years. So he brought and brought his phone to record me. He wants to learn how to say it. A man in his 50s. I had to say it slowly. Okay, but you see, you're a rebel. I belong to Yitzchak, and I first met in Bnei Akiva. Remember Atul Boshet, the gray shirt with the Bnei Akiva symbol? This is, you're a rebel. Shoma Hadati's before my, I remember a gray shirt, Bnei Akiva. I remember when I learned by Rabbi Yosef Weiss, I think I told you, I used to wear a sweater on Tuesday. We would have a meeting of Bnei Akiva when there was no school, election day, Tuesday. So I didn't want him to see. He's a shtickel a satma. So I used to wear a sweater, and I was sitting right in front of him. Michael Rackman, my chavruta, says, Rebbe, bet rotkov solvaisen was a gatemit, was verkleider, kuk nicht dann das sweater. Soll er abheben das sweater? You should lift up the sweater. Let's see. He was a wise guy. So Rav Weiss, I told the story in front of him 2 years ago. We were hysterical. Rav Weiss says to me to say the Tosfot. You understand? But I knew the Tosfot. He didn't ask me to lift up my sweater. He understood already. Let be. Okay, so we're in rebel. All right. The state of Israel? One tremendous revolution. Dov, let me hear the way you say Kiddush. Borei Pri HaGafen. Let start it for me. Let me hear. Baruch, you said.
Yes.
That's one. All right. I haven't said that for 49 years. My daughters were laughing at me. Baruch. We're in rebel. We're all pronouncing Sfradid. Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, till his dying day, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, when he was called to the Torah, Baruch Atah. You understand? I can't even pronounce it now. How did I grow up? I grew up like you, like me, like everyone else. I spoke the way my Rebbe spoke. Came in Aliyah, the great revolution. So here they took on, all the kids took on the Nusach Sfad. I have grandchildren who daven the Nusach Sfad. They grew up here. Baruch Hashem, we both have grandchildren. Yitzchak, I'm sure you have too.
At least they daven.
No, Baruch Hashem, I'm not criticizing them at all. No, Binyamin, how do you daven? You went to Machon Lev, you did army? You haven't done army. All right, the army is the great crucible here. But how do you daven? Habara Ashkenazis. Okay, so So you see here, there's a great revolution. Okay, that's the language, the davening, the nusach, everything that goes with it. Then there's another problem here. Then, Chaim, what do you want to say, Herbie?
When I was in DP camps, I never had gone to school before.
Right.
So the Palestinian Jews, it was in 47,
right,
came and they taught us Nusach Hebrew. So that's how I learned. I lived in Elizabeth over 40 years. Ashkenaz and, you know.
Right.
I came here 3 weeks, I was here.
Right.
Everything came back to me.
All the Yevrit that they taught you in the DP camps. All right, that's Gisad the Yenukta. But now I want to say something else. We have a very wonderful problem in the state of Israel. We have here Jews that speak 120 languages, 120 countries, 120 different Nuskat Tzfilah. You can go out of your mind. I give you a simple example. So Friday night, since I don't have the ability to walk 45 minutes back from the Kotel anymore, so I daven with my son-in-law, is president of the shul, a little further from my house instead of walking 3 minutes, so I walk 8 minutes to hit the shul. So I daven there, and that shul is the continuity of a shul from the old city, Chazon Yecheskel. It came out of the old city in 48, a pure Ashkenazic shul. So I'm davening there Friday night. Everything is Ashkenazic, just the way I was brought up, just the way I've davened for the last 80 years. No problem. And after the so-called Chazaretz Hashatz on Friday night, after the bracha, the kaddish, mizmor ledavid, my good svardim. And then a chatzi kaddish and baruch. You follow? Mizmor ledavid. What are you talking about? Unt vidra, one or the other. If you're Ashkenaz, what are you doing? And if you're svard, how did you daven until now Ashkenaz and put in the svardic curve? This is a problem we all
problem? It's nice.
Relax. Now, in the army, the problem is even more pronounced. Because, Sam, when you daven locally, have you lived in Israel at all at any while outside of being in a yeshiva? All right, so if you live in Israel, no matter where you live, you can walk a block, 2 blocks, 3 blocks, you find this shul, that shul. You can always find the shul, the feet kamcha. You follow? But in the army, I just spoke with my grandson. So he was this Shabbos. I don't know if he got. I think he was in this Shabbos, but it was 2 weeks ago. He couldn't get out. There was an alert. You know, we were on high alert in both borders, down south and up north. So I asked him, "So what's shaping up for a minyan?" He said, "No, we have no problem there. A lot of from soldiers be a big minyan." He said, "I'll even be the balkorei." But they make 1 minyan. You're not going to break into 2, 3 minyanim. What nusach do you daven? So I have to tell you, historically, Reb Shlomo Gorin, known to Mori Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik as Reb Shlomo Gorenchik, but then he hebratized his name. Roshkov became Rakefet, Gorenchik became Gorin. You follow? It's hebratized his name. So Reb Shlomo, when the state was formed, he was a great Talmid Chacham, a great Ilui, a great mind, caught up in the miracles of the rebirth of modern Israel. So Ben-Gurion tapped him to become the chief rabbi of the IDF. He began as a colonel. He was a regular fighter. Matter of fact, around the corner from where I live, on Rehov Herzog, which is the continuity of Aza, Rehov Aza goes down and becomes Rehov Herzog. So I can show you the house where he was positioned as a sharpshooter during the 48 war. And he was well known, everyone knew he was under the command of Reb Avraham Melamed. I still remember Reb Avraham Melamed. It was a unit of the Palmach. It was a chativat datit. Everyone in this unit was frum, so there was never a problem of food and Shabbat. It was a frum unit. It was not yet one army yet like today. So he was there, and then Ben-Gurion tapped him and made him a colonel, and from that he went on to become a major general, the chief rabbi of the army. He saw the problem of davening, and he attempted to introduce Nusach Achid. Anyone who's in the army, you get a sitter, you can request a sitter. When you fall out somewhere, they give you a Tanakh, and you can get a sitter, you can get in the army a Magzi, you can get a Gadi, you can get Tzitzit, you can even get Tefillin. It's unbelievable what is available to you if you want to be firm in the army. So he tried to introduce Nusach Achid. Nusach Achid, by its name, it means the one Nusach, unity for everyone. Basically, it's Nusach Ari. He based it upon Nusach Ari because the Nusach Ari has elements of Ashkenaz in it and elements of Eidot HaMizrach. But humans are humans, and it never caught on. It never caught on because people have a prejudice. They grew up, they're davening one way, and they've davened this way all their life. So what happens in the army, and it was inevitable, it happened the Shabbat, I was in the army in basic training, or afterwards in the Lebanese War, the first Lebanese War, inevitably the Chazan, the Shliach Tzibur, who gets up, whatever Nusach he davens, that's the Nusach that everyone will daven. So I said a vort that Nusach Achid means that Achid in the sense that the individual chooses the Nusach. Whoever davens, he's the one who chooses. Follow? That's universal now. And if he davens Ashkenaz, davens Sfat, davens Taimani, I've heard Taimanim davening, very interesting the way they pronounce the, they talk like Litvakin, but their Gimel and Galid, their Hey, their Chet, Ayin, very different than our pronunciation. And that's what happened in the army, and somehow it's too early yet to force a unified Nusach that everyone should daven the same way, maybe 100 years from now. Then Herbie hit the nail on the head. You go to the Shtiblach. I know, I need not tell you, the Shtiblach in Me'er Sharim, the most famous Shtibl in Yerushalayim, is Zichron Moshe, which is just above Geula, touching Machne Yehuda. I think they have more Minyanim there than any other Shtibl in Yerushalayim. There's a Shtibl where Herbie and I live called the Katamon Shtibl, which was built up by an American, a Musmach of YU, someone who has smicha from the yeshiva, devoted his life, I would say, to building up that minyan, and it's fabulous. You have Itzkowitz, which they say has more people davening every day than any other place in the world. The Itzkowitz Shtibl in Bnei Brak, very well, very famous, very well known.
2,500 people go through the doors of the Shtibl every day.
You're talking Katamon.
The
Katamon Shtiblach has at least 2,500, but they say Itzkowitz has 25,000 every day. So people are driving from Tel Aviv, anyone who needs a minyan, anyone has to say Kaddish, everyone knows they can stop at Itzkowitz and get a minyan any hour. Like Zichron Moshe, you can get minyanim from Maariv at 3, 3.30 in the morning, 4 o'clock. It's unbelievable. Now, in all these Shtiblach, basically what happened in the Israeli army goes on in all the Shtiblach. The Baal Tefillah gets up, and he davens whatever Nusach he wants to daven. In the Shtiblach in Katamon, there's one room that the last Mincha Minyan and the first Maariv Minyan, and maybe in the morning a certain Minyan, that is Nusach Sfat. It cannot be otherwise. But the other rooms and the other Minyanim, it's according to the Baal Tefillah. So now you have a very basic question. Is this permitted? What do you do? And Rav Kook was very makpid. Al titosh Torah Timcha. Don't give up the tradition. Very makpid. Moriah Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, if you would ask him, absolutely, you have to daven Ashkenazis. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Ashkenazis. I'm sure one of his sons the one who went back to America. And anyone know? But I'm sure Yitzi Lichtenstein. Anyone study with Yitzi? Anyone here? Anyone here from Muncie? No, no one responding, so you can't answer. But Yitzi Lichtenstein, I'm sure, davened Ashkenazis, like his father, like his grandfather. Everyone else in the family today already is Havaras Sfardit. But the Rav was Makpid, Rav Aaron was Makpid. And here you have that exact question. Chelek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Halachot, Siman Samech Chet. And this very question, he says, and he got the question from the Catskills. Interesting. When you're in Borough Park, again, I have to explain what the Catskills, Borough Park, when you're in Brooklyn, Borough Park is part of Brooklyn. When you're in Brooklyn, you go whatever shul you want. In every block, there are five shuls. You want Sfad, you want Ashkenaz. Eidat HaMizrach is there, although not so prevalent as Flatbush. You have to daven Yenisach. But the summer times, Brooklyn empties out. Everyone goes from Brooklyn to the Catskills. Catskills are the mountains. It begins in New York, it carries over to Pennsylvania, mountain range. Since it's higher up, it's colder, cooler. So you escape the heat of New York, and also New York is very humid because it's on sea level. You have to be aware of that, that New York is on sea level, and it's very humid. The Catskills already, it can be 10, 15 degrees cooler each day, Fahrenheit, than New York City. So
St. Jacob Schiff, Beppo Mandel, he gave something like 600 acres to the Boy Scouts of America.
Wow.
And they had four or five camps. One of them was kosher.
Wow.
So
wow.
I was a chaplain in the summertime for 6 summers at the 10-mile River Boy Scout camp.
Wow.
Poconos.
Wow.
And not the Poconos, the Catskills.
Catskills.
The same mountain range is called the Poconos in Pennsylvania.
Right.
You would have to go into White Lake for
a Right.
But they had a kosher restaurant. One of the kitchens was kosher.
Kala
Kabbalah. Kosher Shachtas was...
the Rav HaMachshir.
Yeah.
Wow.
Other different people were...
Very nice. But that's the Catskills. So now in the Catskills, it's not Brooklyn. You don't have a shul five on every block. It's temporary. You have one shul servicing half a mile area. What Masafiyah Davin? And here in the Catskills, you have everyone together. It's not Ashkenazim only. It's Lithuanians, it's Chassidim. There can be Sephardic Jews, although they tend to go to Deal, New Jersey, have a different community for the summer. And he gets this very question. And he said, Shinik Batsu, Kaba B'nei Adam, Kagob Machne Kayetz, V'yesham Sfadim Ashkenazim, V'shinuim In Chagim, Nuschad, Heich Lin Hag. And very important question, what do we do? And it's worse than that. You see, in a shul, loted goldedu. We spoke about this, but I don't know, this year, last year. Give you a simple example. You come to Yerushalayim, you're visiting from London, and it's Chol HaMoed Pesach, Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Are you allowed to put on tefillin? Your minhag is to put on tefillin without a bracha, Chol HaMoed. Israel? Absolutely not allowed to put on, because no one here puts on tefillin. And it's one of the great miracles of modern day Israel. No one puts on tefillin. You're going to come in and put on tefillin. Lo tikol dedu. You're dividing the community. Same thing with Nischad. Everyone is davening Nisach Ashkenaz, and you're going to bang, we should daven Sfad. You're causing machlokes. You're causing lo tikol dedu. You're causing controversy. And he says, I can't get over this sentence. He says, it's a good question, but I saw the answer with my own eyes. But ha'iti b'Yerushalayim yehakodesh, b'veit ha'knesset zichron Moshe, sheba'im sham anashim lachit palel, mikol minei minhagim,
V'chol misha ovelif necha teva mitpaleo nuskho. V'lo reiti mochin bezeh. V'Yerushalayim ir shel chachamim v'sofrim hu. U'mistama hin hinu haminhag megaone kadmai v'yesh lismoch alav. This sentence is the heart of Judaism. Takes me back to what I've lectured on in various contexts a thousand different ways over the last 59 years of teaching Torah. There's a certain power to the Jewish people. What is the Gemara saying? Psachim, v'daf samachvav, v'm lo nevi'im heim, v'nei nevi'im heim. Tremendous power. The Jews have a healthy instinct of knowing what to do. What does the Gemara say in Bracha, daf mem hei amud aleph, right at the top? Fuk chazi mai ama devar. Go out and see what the people are doing. Ultimately, we determine the halacha. The tragedy of the conservative movement is they quote the same Gemaras, but they have the attitude any Jew can determine. No, you're going to go out and poll the Jews, lo aleinu, God have mercy on us. How many of the Jews are in favor of Tarat Mishpacha? We're going to poll Harvey Weinstein and company. God have mercy on us. How many of the Jews are in favor of observing Shabbat? We're going to poll Jerry Seinfeld and company. I'm still makpid if anyone has access to Jerry. Tell him he's invited to my shayurim when he comes to perform in Israel. I taught his first cousins. He can come too. No, we're going to poll Jerry Seinfeld and company. How many Jews in favor of kashrut? God have mercy. The Jews have power, but which Jews? The observant Jews, the Jews that care, the Jews that observe. The Gemara in Bracha, it's a question, what bracha do you make over water? Shahakol abarina fasha? No, it's Jews who make a bracha. That's the healthy instinct.
What are the Jews?
So you do as you were taught, as everyone observes. I know halacha lemaisa. One slice you make a mezonah, two slices you make a motzi.
What about these wraps?
I don't know. I always thought you make a motzi on wraps. They opened it up to machlokes. I don't think so. It's not that a wrap is not just to hold the food together. It's a dava mamushes stick unto itself, in my opinion.
You gave me a sack of the Avadia. Not Avadia Yosef. His name is Avadia, but a bicycle.
The bicycle on Shabbat.
He calls the Ben Ishchai, that's Buddha.
Right. The whole sack is based upon the Ben Ishchai. And logos from Gezerib is Manhattan. I'm not that happy with it, but okay. They tell me in Deal, New Jersey, they're riding bikes on Shabbos to shul. But you need an Erev. You have to be within the Tchum and an Erev and all that comes with it. But I don't know. I personally am so reticent. But people say to me, but you accept time clocks? You understand? They give you a whole argument. You accept that someone in a lower lane who can't walk gets the shul Shabbos in Israel with the big sign on it. It's on a Pikud Shabbat. You know, what they came up with in the Tzomet, in Alon Shvut. All right, but a person is sick. I can understand the fact that at least he can get the shul. Yet I can tell you, I was in Los Angeles years ago, and a person who, he's no longer alive, but he was he made me his Rebbe many years ago. He was a Talmud of Avraham Soloveitchik, and then he heard my Shiurim via tapes, and then via the YU Torah website, and he followed me on Shabbos. I'm walking back to where we're eating, and he's on his scooter with the Pikud Shabbos, and Malka felt very uncomfortable. My wife gave me a whole argument, you know, that I let him walk with me. I said, look, I can't embarrass him. But she felt very uncomfortable. Shabbos, the Muda, the Skoda, right, you can use it, but use it privately. I don't say that. Open to discussion. But this comment here that he says, I was in Yerushalayim. And with all due respects to Borough Park and Flatbush and Teaneck and Sam West Hempstead, it's not Yerushalayim. And he's absolutely right. Yerushalayim, there are people here sweeping streets with beard, with payas, lamdanim, people hanging up signs that can talk with you in all of Shas, and that's how they make a living, Yerushalayim. Oh, wow. You have here the best of the best. You can come in Aliyah, and you go to the OU Center. I met a rabbi from England, came in Aliyah. He tells me he's never been so busy in his life. He just retired from many, many years in the English rabbinate, came in Aliyah. He says he and his wife, they're busy day and night at the OU Center. You understand what goes on here? Wow. Okay. And he says, I saw in the Shtiblach in Zichron Moshe that every minyan changed according to the one who was the Baal Tefillah, Ashkenaz, Sfad, Nisachari, Eidot HaMizrach. And listen to those words. Yerushalayim is a city chachamim v'sofrim. The original Gainim allowed this. And if this is the practice, yesh lis moch al seh. Wow. I got to give him credit. Beautiful approach.
Where is this exactly,
Siman? Chelek Yud Aleph, Siman Samach Chet. Beautiful approach. And practically speaking, and here he comes to the next line, if we wouldn't have this approach, we'd have Enlich Machlaikis. What would go on in the shul? A guy gets up to daven Ashkenaz, and the people are yelling, no, Sfad. The Kedusha, he's saying Nekadesh, and they're saying Naritzcha. You could have here endless Machloket. And I have to say, Rabbi Nasha Klein, and this comes out in many of his tshuvot, he is very sensitive to machloket. It could be it's a result of his own life, what he went through, the concentration camps, the survival, what we spoke about his first wife, what she did to him. He went through a lot of difficulty in his life. He was criticized, either he's too lenient or he's too stringent. He was an individual, and our world of Torah has a lot of trouble dealing with individuals. You follow? It's reality. You understand? People laugh at me. During most of the year, I wear what looks like a baseball cap. They laugh at me. I'm comfortable. I always wear a hat because the sun and the winter I wear with a better hat that I can pull over my ears, but it's also not a rabbinic hat. And people laugh from today to tomorrow. You're an individual. Look at the way Maria Rebbe Soloveitchik dressed. Look at the way Reb Chaim Brisker dressed. I told you, look at the way the Chafetz Chaim dressed. Today we don't have to look at miracles. We have the video of the Chafetz Chaim, right or wrong, from 1923. But the world today has difficulty because it's it's a stamp. Everyone has to be a stempel. Everyone has to be the same, look the same, act the same, talk the same. Nah, that's not Torah. Torah is Tzelem Elokim. We're all different. Halacha demands, commands respect, but the picture you paint within the framework of halacha is your individual picture. Some of us go to college, some of us get doctorates, some of us just sit and learn, some of us are poskim, some of us are lamdanim shas, some of us go into Jewish history, some of us are medical doctors, everyone is different. What do you want? That's the way God made the world. Thank God that we're all different. Look at the Mishnah and Sanhedrin about the Ribbono Shel Olam and how every individual is absolutely different, although it all comes from one individual made by God. Okay, so Rev. Menashe Klein here, he says, the only time I wouldn't agree with this if it will cause machloket, he says, could be if there's one nusach in the shul, or there's an overwhelming majority for one nusach, then perhaps you have to follow that nusach when you daven in that shul. But al kol panim ha'ikar, Shaloya sumach loket bazah That's the most important point. Don't, one second. Don't make a machloket. And this is why the army, the shtiblach, they found a very easy solution. It's a floating nusach. It depends on the person davening. Halacha l'maisa, what I do, and this is the halacha, that I always daven Ashkenaz. But Kedusha, and when you have to say Kaddish in public, you say like the Nusach of the Minyan. You follow? That's the halacha. If you're davening for the Amid, you have to daven the Nusach of the Shul. It's not you individually. But in a shtibl, where you can set the Nusach, so you daven your Nusach. I noticed in the shtiblach in Katamon, something developed that is very interesting. I'm not happy about it. I have a big problem. I told you, I grew up in Yeshiva University, Yeshiva Chanan. We never said Tachnun at Mincha. Jacob today, did I say Tachnun at Mincha? In Reitz. Yeah. You grew up in Reitz? Yes or no?
Yeah,
they
did in Reitz for a little
bit.
They say Tachnun. Later, when I learned with the Rav, I told you I learned that Tachnun is part of the Shmon Esrei. I showed it to you in class. It's a key in Shmon Esrei. I started saying Tachnun. But I come to the Shtiblach and the Sfadim say the Yud Gimel Midas, the long Tachnun at Mincha. And boy, does that upset me. I don't even have time to sin. Where do I come to the Yud Gimel Midas on a normal weekday? You all know my schedule. I'm wake up 4:30. I stop learning. I already did the 2 Siddurim before I went to shul. I davened. And, oh, come on. I'm teaching. I'll be learning my Gemara with it. Come on. Who has time to sin? I'm embarrassed. It's like Motzoi Yom Kippur. They asked the question. A guy stopped and said everything. And then 1 minute later, Slachlon Avinu Kichatan Omar of Yom Kippur. It's a famous question. All right, the answer is you don't want to change the Nusach HaTfilah. But Einach Inami, after Yom Kippur, I have a right to say, I don't have to say Slachlonu. I just had all my sins removed. I did Shuvah Shleima. So in the Shtiblach, if I catch an Ashkenazic minion years ago, I was happy. No long Yud Gimel Midot. Today in the Shtiblach, even in many of the Ashkenazic minyanim, they say Yud Gimel Midot because there's so many Svadim there, they don't want to offend them. So you see, a new Nusach is being formed. But Jacob, I will admit my sins right now, Aryeh. Generally speaking, nowadays that my grandsons are all out of the neighborhood, each one is in their own world, married, army, whatever they're doing, so I wind up davening in a shul very close, one block away from my house. Yatama, no tachnun at mincha, ever. Hasidic minhag, no problem. Anyone who says tachnun there, they beat him up, tie him up, and throw him out. No tachnun by takanun of the shul. And occasionally, I have to tell you, someone that ate my house has a little kid, to be on a Rebbe, davens mincha in our shul. It's been written up in the book that just came out in America about secession, Hyman's new book, Samuel Hyman, very interesting volume. They have a picture of him davening in Yad Hamah, and they tell you, occasionally he runs away to get away from Chassidim and the Shtibel and everyone bothering him. His driver brings him to Yad Hamah. You follow me, Aryeh? And he davens there. And it's a good Chassidish mincha with no tachnun. Why Chassidim don't say tachnun? We spoke about in class, okay. Chassidim want to be happy. You heard the minyan, the happy minyan here this morning? Ribbono Shel'olam, we're lucky they didn't. Did they take out guitars? Let me know the truth. But Binyamin, did they take out guitars at the minyan today? You didn't daven there. All right.
Ani doesn't say tachnun.
Ani doesn't say tachnun at mincha?
No.
What are you talking about?
He does not say
tachnun. That minyan says Yud Gimel Midot.
No, but he doesn't.
Ani Rund, Rabbi Rund is the one who built the Shtiblach. So they're saying Yud Gimel Midot, and he's not saying Tachlin.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, he's as bad as I am. Okay. All right. Now we have a classic question. We won't finish it today, and there's a world in this tshuva. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nihyeh bedvaro.
Amen.
I've been doing a lot of talking this morning. I met with the first student in the Kollel. His name is Rabbi Dr. Norman Amsel, and he has what this fella can accomplish. He showed me a video. Did he show you the video? What is? If anyone's listening who has access to a few million dollars foundation money, we can change the world of chinuch in the entire world for the next 1,000 years. You just need money to put this through. He has a runner. It shows you what can be done. Unbelievable. To get kids interested. Kids today, it's the computer generation. So in order to teach, you have to get them involved with a video, with a computer, with questions, with answers, and then the Rebbe can add to it. And this could be in every day school, every high school. Fabulous. All right, we're now in the posthumous volume of the Mishnah Halachot, Chelik Yud Chet, Siman Pei Gimel. And it's a Rosh Yeshiva is asking from a Svadik Yeshiva. And this is the heart of everything we're talking about. But here you have a specific case. Kid's father, probably a survivor, all his life davened Nusach Sfarad. Now, I have to tell you about Nusach Sfarad, and we'll see it in the Tshuva. Nusach Sfarad is a phony Nusach. It never really existed. It was really the Jews who davened Ashkenaz, who were in rebellion, and they became Hasidim. When they became Hasidim, they altered the Ashkenaz to Sfarad. But all of you know there's very little difference between Svad to Ashkenaz. So basically, the poskim do not get hysterical if you switch from Ashkenaz to Svad. It's what we would call in Rabbinic Hebrew, pachim ktanim, right? What the Rashi quotes with Yaakov Avinu, that he crossed over to bring back pachim ktanim. It's a small matter. But Nusach Ari is basically a different Nusach. And Nusach Ari has, from the Eidot HaMizrach, it's hard to say whether it's more Ashkenaz or more Eidot HaMizrach. It's somewhere exactly in the middle. So this kid is in this Chassidic Yeshiva, and in the Chassidic Yeshiva he gets caught up with Kabbalah, and he's drawn to Nusach Ari. And he wants to switch his Nusach. Many other fellows in the yeshiva are davening Nusach Ari. For all I know, Chassidish yeshiva in Borough Park, there are winds from Chabad blowing there. They daven Nusach Ari. And his father is very upset because his father says, all my life I davened Nusach Sfarad. I want my children to continue. The majority of the world which I come from and live in today is davening Nusach Sfarad. And why should my son change? And his father tells the kid, and father evidently is a Talmud Chacham, you know that this type of Nusach Ari is a mixed up Nusach. V'yein lachem Nusach Yadua elam urav mikamen ischot. And how do you decide that you want to daven a different Nusach than your father? And this is the question. Al titosh taratimcha can you leave up a vicha v'yagedulach? Can you leave, push away the family tradition? And very humbly, Reb Menashe Klein says, this is a well-known question. I've seen arguments between the lions, Ariyot, the great Talmidei Chachamim. He quotes the Chatam Sofa. He quotes Reb Chaim Halberstam, the Divrei Chaim. He quotes the Maram Shik. He quotes Reb Shimon Greenwald. These are all great Hungarian poskim. And he says, Miyach Nisro Sholahach Ria Chas V'Shalom B'Dava Asher Rosho Magia Hashemayama. And he quotes beautiful Hebrew. How can I get involved? These people are fighting tremendous battles, and I'm going to get involved on an issue that reaches God. Rosho Magia Hashemayama Sulam Butzavatsa. Rosho Magia Hashemayama. That's this week's Seder, right? Vayetze. And he's hesitant. But then he quotes the Munkacha. And you have to know that the Munkacha, the father and son, particularly the Divrei the Divrei Loza, how do they pronounce it? The Loza. Divrei Loza. Loza. And let me pronounce it the way they do. We shouldn't be mixed up. That was a posek mufak, the Munkacha Rav. For the Hungarians, this was the posek mufak. And he quotes the Munkacha that it's forbidden to change. We are Ashkenazim, and you want to start changing, and we have to continue our traditions, and we have no right to change. Now,
he was a
chosid,
wasn't he?
Yeah, but what he means, no right to change. This is one second. This is the Shapiro family, right? What name did they go by? The last name?
Rabbanovitz
was the son-in-law.
But
he was the Munkacha Rav after World War II, right before World War II. Minchat Loza was the name of his sefer. Minchat Loza. Loza, they pronounce it. But this was, he's quoting the Munkacha, and no right to change. And here the question comes up, all right, no right to change, but the Nusach HaRi was worked on. It's Gedolei Yisrael, the Alter Rebbe, people formed that Nusach, and it goes back to the HaRi. And perhaps that's a Nusach that we can feel has the best of all Nuschot. Maybe he has the right. You understand the Minchat Loza may be speaking where you're changing from one Nusach to a totally different Nusach. Nusach HaRi is in the middle. It's trying to combine the Nuschot. This is why Rav Goren chose it for the army. And you see, there's another factor here beneath the surface. Tell me, why did why was it such a machloket? Why was changing Nusach such an earth-shaking question? And here you have to understand, for hundreds and hundreds of years, Jews davened a certain Nusach. Who were the first to challenge the reform? The whole battle in Europe, you quote the Chatam Sofer, you quote the Maram Shik. Who were they fighting? Who were they were caught up with? The reform came along, and they made changes in the Nusach. You Kumpukan, you know, the famous joke, I would say, the first change was, why do you say you Kumpukan twice? So they limited to saying it once. You Kumpukan. Ultimately, they destroyed everything. Nothing was left. What happened with the Kabbanat? What happened with Shivat Zion? the minute you begin to change, there's no end to what the changes will be. The reform totally took sacrifice, returned to Zion, totally disappeared from their Sidurim, right or wrong. The conservative movement, I remember in the 1950s, they made a big change when it came to Tfilat Musaf. Instead of saying V'nakriv lefanecha, Asher hikriv lefanecha, past tense. The implication being, there'll be no sacrifice la'atid lavo. So you see, changing of nusach, it's a very emotionally related question. You start changing, you know where you begin, but you don't know where you're going to end. And here I can tell you in parentheses, many, many years ago, so they would interview you for the radio. There was a whole English radio. I don't know if it was every year. It was every day, I believe. I have to be honest, from the time I came in Aliyah, I didn't listen to English radio. I didn't read the Jerusalem Post. I always felt the more important to listen in Hebrew and read in Hebrew because you're getting the real McCoy. The only problem I have with reading Hebrew is when they take these English words and transliterate them. I'll never forget, in 69, there was a screaming headline, Golda Meir Mevakeshet Me'at Sot HaBrit, is asking something from America, and I couldn't make out that word no matter what. And I asked my next door neighbor, what's this word? And he says to me, what, you don't know English? I say, yeah, I know English, but this is in Hebrew. Golda Meir Mevakeshet Credit. Credit. Darn it, they should have said Ashrayi. Credit, we have a Hebrew word. Credit. It's the only words I have trouble with in Hebrew, believe me. Everything else is very simple. So you begin. You don't know where you're going to end. The radio, they get in touch with me. They want to interview me, a program for Motsai Tisha B'Av. They're going to record it in advance. It's not like today they interview you over the phone. And I go to the studio. You know, I was a young kid then. I was teaching. You want to get a reputation, appear on the radio. Fabulous. Orthodox. And a reform guy who had learned in Lakewood, learned in Mir. I never met such a Sonny Yisrael in my life. He died young. Came with a list of psukim in the Torah to challenge me. And they challenged me, Kabbanot. You understand Kabbanot? So I quoted the Rambam first night, the Ramban. I said, look, we don't have Kabbanot today, so maybe we don't understand it entirely, but the Ramban deals with this and says, when we'll have a Beis HaMikdash and see how it's performed and the feeling and the aura, we will comprehend it. But I said, I only will understand right now, I said, halavai we would have kabbanot, because if we would slaughter animals and see blood, we would drive differently. We would not kill each other on the roads. You have no idea what impact those words left. I was walking around like a hero. People ran after me on the streets. Kavanah. But you see, when you start playing with the davening, you know where you begin. You don't know where you're going to end. And this is why there was such, I would say, fear, trepidation. You're going to change Nisach, all right. But Rav Menashe Klein is dealing with it in the context of Brooklyn. In Brooklyn already, I don't believe you have to be so frightened of reform and conservative innovation. It's not the Chatam Sofer, it's not the Maram Shik, it's not Hungary with the Neologs, with the tremendous problems, the winds of Germany, the liberalism. So I have to tell you, the Reb Menashe Klein takes a very understanding approach to this youngster. And he says, yes, I know your father objects, but maybe he shouldn't object if you want to change the Nusach and you feel more at home than with Nusach Ari than his original Nusach Svad. And here Rabbi Menashe Klein goes into a beautiful elaboration of a tremendous concept that is not just a question of davening, it's a question of Talmud Torah. And let me quote the Gemara. He quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Daf Yutchet Amir Aleph. It's in relation to Talmud Torah. The Ein Adam Lomeid Ela B'Makom Shalibo Chafetz. Gentlemen, this is a beautiful concept. We all have an obligation to study Torah, but no two of us enjoy the same topic. We're all different. We're attracted to different parts of the Torah. This just came up in my own life. The manuscript is almost finished for the next volume of Rakafet Aharon. So I'm dialoguing with Rabbi Asaf Bednash, the Sgan Rosh Kollel here, his old Chavruta, my Talmud, Yaakov Weinstein. And we got to go further. What do we want to do next in putting out the Shayurim that were given in this room, this Kollel? So I've given on so many different topics. I don't know. Let the world know that I know a little bit more than just Eben Ezra. So I suggested maybe we should go to the 5 years I spent on the Holocaust. I dealt with all the response literature before, during, and after. And Yaakov says to me, but, you know, before we do that, I love your shurim on civil marriage. And I said to him right away, if you feel that comes next, ain't a dumb lomeid ella b'makom shaliba hafetz. Well, Yitzchak Avrahman is this guy's working day and night when he's not working at Princeton in his profession, and you want him to do both? He has a wife and children too? Come on. We should live, but it doesn't matter. The shirim are digitized. They're on YU Torah, so it can be done.
You know that nobody has really done a survey in depth on the Holocaust.
Not to say that it'll be done someday. I don't have to be around for it to be.
Someday? Let's do it now.
But you're forcing what you're interested in upon him. This is exactly opposite to Gemara. But it's more than that. See, it's even deeper. What about a yeshiva? What about a yeshiva? Dov Zakheim's father learned in Mir. Rabbi Zakheim's father learned in Mir. I knew his father. I knew his uncle.
So did I.
You learned in Mir?
Rebbe. No.
Oh, that was your Rebbe. In, of course, Newark, of course. We come from the same shtetl, actually. Okay. So, your father wants you to go to Mir. I learned in Mir. Mir was good for me. No, you're interested in Yeshiva University. You want to go to college. Can your father force you? Binyamin, do you know the difference between a Litvishi Yeshiva and a Chassidishi Yeshiva? It's a world of difference. And the Litvishi Yeshiva, when I was 14, 15, I learned 30 blot a year, if that much. But we learned in depth. You learned how to learn. You learned Reb Chaim. Chassidishi Yeshiva, they'll laugh at you. They take kids 14, teach them chum. 100 pages, 100 daf, no shortcuts. Chulin, it's a different world. Gemara, Rashi, occasionally a Tosfot. They laugh at the Litvisha. They're learning to be big analysis, analyze the Gemara. We'll come to it tomorrow. I'm throwing out, giving a special gift tomorrow. On the Ritbaz. Just remind me, Yitzhak reminds me to read Baz. I owe a gift, someone asked me something. You're learning halacha l'maisa, to know what to do, to be your Yerei Yerushalayim. Well, where do you want to go?
In my
mother,
that's where they
were. Not Beseda, the Rav innovated in my mother. He's not in YU.
We
weren't
blockers.
Right, blockers. Right. I know the Rav Sheikh. Right. The key to show them, halacha l'maisa. Sam, I'll say something else to you. I grew up in the world of Litta. I was 13. I learned Meseches Gittin. I was 14. I learned Kedushin. What are you teaching a kid about sex? All the intricacies of sex, Allah, come on. Chassidic world, they don't teach a kid anything doing. I had a neighbor, Rabbi Lewittis, a revered neighbor, first graduating class of Yeshiva College, 1932, Rabbi Dr. Mendel Lewittis. From Ger, they used to send him chatanim, getting married. They never knew what sex is about. Could you imagine? They grew up, Siddisha Welt, knew nothing. He would give them lessons. His brother-in-law, also my neighbor, Rabbi Nathan Drazen, Marriage Made in Heaven, famous book, later translated into Hebrew. And every Rosh Yeshiva from the Litvish, from that world gave it to his Talmud when he got married. Knew which is a better approach. To learn Gittin, Kiddushin, I never learned Ktuvat, Petach, Patuach, I don't have to tell you, I'm very opposed to, I don't know how you can have a mixed class, how you can teach men and women these sugyas. It's not my cup of tea. But a basic difference. You follow? A Chassidish guy met his wife under a chuppah. They made a shidduch. There's a memoir came out, I quoted it. Did you get the memoir yet? She writes about her father, that he thanked his mother for picking out such a beautiful girl for him. He knew what beauty was. He met her under the chuppah, but he was so pleased. They had a fabulous marriage. It's the grandfather of Professor Katzoff. You follow? Grandfather, grandmother. Basic differences. New, does the father have a right to stop the son? Very interesting question. Do you want to go learn at Yeshiva Tzvi Chochanan? You'll be exposed to Rebbeim that are too open-minded? You come from a Hasidic background? A kid wants to go to Lakewood. All the Yekkes, 80%, 90% of the Yekkes wound up in Lakewood. No? Do you know what happened do you know what Yekke Land is? Washington Heights, there's a part of Manhattan, upper Washington, where Yeshiva University is. On the other side of Washington Heights is the German Orthodox community, Breuers, as it's called. They had some explosion there a few years ago, where tomorrow there'll be someone in class who's related to the dynamite. Dr. Hexter, no, that Charlie's in America, he's visiting his mother, he won't be here this week. So Charlie's family, they bemoan the fact that the new generation of Germans goes away, Rav Hirsch, they go to Lakewood, they never get a secular degree, they haven't read a secular book, and they bemoan the fact, and the rabbi got up, no great-grandson of Rav Hirsch will tell us what to do. Only the Gedolei Yisrael knew you have a kid. The German parents say, we want you to go to Israel, study in Machon Lev. But don't go to Lakewood and leave over general studies? Well, you can have endless machloket. And he says, the Gemara tells us openly and will develop the idea that you only study what's of interest to you. And one of the great Rishonim of the latter period in Germany, the Truma Tadeshin, Siman Mem, the Truma Tadeshin, had the Shaila Vahalacha, that the father told the kid, you cannot go to study in that yeshiva. And the kid felt, if I go there, I will have more hatzlacha. I will be happier. I will develop my spiritual personality better. The Truma Tadeshin said, you are not obligated to listen to your father. Ein Adam Lomeid Ela B'makom Shelibo Chafeitz. Wow.
Who was the Truma
Tadeshin? Rabbi Yisrael Isserlein, one of the last of the great German Rishonim. He gave his psukim greatly influenced the Ramah. Many of the psukim of the Ramah, what we do, goes back to Rabbi Yisrael Isserlein. And I can tell you on a very basic level, he has great influence on we Jews living here in Israel. Because what we're talking about now comes up in many, many variations. Pesach time. You married a Sephardic girl. You're the happiest guy alive that you married a Sephardic girl. Believe me, that's all I tell my grandsons. And the 9 of them already married. There is Sephardic blood. The happiest guy's alive. I knew at Yekka, we were good friends. It's related to good friends of mine who are still in the States. He's no longer alive. Time moves on. He was a Yekka. Came here right after the War of Independence, the early years, the 50s, married a Taimaniya, a Yemenite lady. No one ever had it so good. Believe me, he never looked back. Okay? So, yes, the Truma Tadeshin, you married a Sephardic girl. You're invited to her house for Pesach. Her mother-in-law has cooked up a feast, and here she is on Pesach, presenting you with chicken and rice. Binyamin, fine mess. I'm willing to bet, hearing your last name, that you cannot eat rice on Pesach. Even with a finer mess, you can't eat rice on Pesach. Tell me, can you eat in your in-law's house, or are you going to embarrass your wife, your mother-in-law, and your father-in-law, and all that goes with it? Absolutely, can you don't eat the rice, but the Truma Tadeshin, if they eat it, we're going to ask for the Kalim. It's Truma Tadeshin, quoting word by word, as the case with the oil, etc. Very tremendous posek. And he paskin v'halacha that you don't have to listen to your father. Quotes him. There's a lot more to be said. We'll go further, but very fascinating question. The Truma Tadeshin, I can tell you, is very important too. He dealt with the whole question, what if the bishop walks in or the cardinal and he's wearing his crucifix? Remember, there's a big difference between a cross, which doesn't necessarily represent religion. It over-represents, you come from the Gentile minority, majority. And the Germans had a hetta. I know many good Yekkes sold jewelry, and among the jewelry were mug and doublets and crosses. But a crucifix is mamish, a symbol of Avodah Zarah in the full sense of the word. No, he walks in, and you have to bow before him. So he describes, it's a very interesting historical source, that where he came from, the popes, the cardinals, the bishops, whoever you're going to, they were sensitive to the Jews, and they would pull their cloak over the crucifix. When the Jew met them and would curtsy before them, they would pull their cloak over. It's very fascinating tshuva. A doctorate was done based upon the tshuva of the Truma Tadeshin. Someone taught at Stern College years ago, it's ancient history already, but he did a doctorate on the Truma Tadeshin. It was done at Dropsy. It was done at Drop. So you can check it out. Go online and see if you can come up with it. Yes, Yitzchak.
When a cardinal Lustiger,
right,
whose name was Lustiger,
right, he was Jewish.
When he came to YU,
right,
he turned his Salem inside his cap.
Right. Okay, so he learned it from the Truma Tadeshin. It's a sad story. It's a sad story, Cardinal Lustiger. Sad story. You know, at his funeral, he asked that Kaddish be said, in addition to everything else.
His nephew, who lives here.
His nephew's a Gaon Adir, who's done...
He lives
done,
here.
No, he has many relatives here. They're all Shomer Shabbos, but he has a cousin in America who has done great things for the Rebbe's memory, the Chumash. He's Arnold Lustiger, That's Arnold Lustiger. He's a cousin, of course. He's a brilliant individual, and I love the Siddur, the Chumashim. I love. Because I know what he had to create, what the raw material was, and Karakabon. Okay, before I get to TB's, just reiterate. First of all, so this is your mother. Who, this gentleman? His father. You said to me, your mother's coming. I figured your father is still back in London. Okay. Pleased to meet you. And this young man is your brother. Okay, now I put it together. What a pleasure. Wow. Okay. I have a connection. Machon Lev, number one, the president, when he was a kid, YU, I was a Rebbe already. So I have a little protexia with him. The vice president is my student. So I have big protexia. Number three, they're very thankful to me that I got this campus for Torah. That's a story unto itself. You can read about it in my seventh book, etc. So we know Machon Lev. In addition, my eldest son-in-law is a Machon Lev. Yitzchak, I have stuff for you. What are you?
I'll get it tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, enjoy. They're going to Ishi. I know where they're going. Bahatzlachav, Herbie. One second. Machon Lev. My son-in-law is a Machon Lev graduate, my eldest son-in-law. He was in the army afterwards for 20 years. And Kanayin Hara did okay for himself. So I have a connection with Machon Lev. So what did we do today? We finished out Einstein, Machlokes HaPoskim, Rabbi Huttner Seifer, Rabbi Menashe Klein, but that Sefer comes out, and I'm very impressed by Rabbi Menashe Klein. It's intellectual honesty, something that the Rav taught me, and not everyone is capable of it, but imagine to put in so many years later, a Sefer came out and he totally disagrees with me, but I remain with my opinion, but you should know that there's disagreement. Then we got involved in the shtibble and the Catskills, the Nusach, and here Nebuch, this young man, wants to change from Nusach Sfar to Nusach Ari, and his father is yelling and shouting, and this young man is caught in the middle. They turn to Rabbi Menashe Klein, and you see that we'll start to see a very positive opinion of independence for the individual. We're going to talk about Talmud Torah next week, and then Tefillah, beautiful, beautiful material. If anyone wants, this is from the Mo'atzah HaDatit. When Shabbos begins and Shabbos ends in my building, they put it into every mailbox. People throw it away. If you're interested, please take it. This is an article that appeared a number of years ago by Yaakov Meir Soloveitchik, Meir Yaakov, the rabbi of a Spanish-Portuguese synagogue, the grandson of Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. Beautiful article on the difference between Torah and the non-Jews in our relationship to God, what Talmud Torah is all about. Very, very nice article. It's missing footnotes, and I guess this was a term paper when he was getting his doctorate in Princeton. This is, again, very interesting article that deals with who is right in Germany. Rav Hirsch, who said separate from the Reform, or Rav Bamberger, who said remain with them. Very fascinating, and Rav Chaim Oyser was asked, and he says, how can I paskin? It's a question of hashkafa. You have to be living there and feel the pulse. Very interesting piece of work. Scientists have made the first attempt to edit genes within the body. The implications for this are for helping people who are ill, unbelievable, with these diseases that are within, that you inherit. The gene chromosome makeup, very fascinating. New York Times article that makes you cry. Roy Moore reminds me of my rabbi, and it's by a lady who was subject to disgrace by Barry, my wife calls him Freundel, who we all know. And she makes the comparison. What a sad article, but what a powerful message. why men aren't funny. And also this is a fallout from what's going on in the world. And very nice article, but it hurts the jokes that they tell, and the jokes are all real. Anyone who grew up loving baseball, which Benjamin had even heard of, the eldest former baseball player just died, and it made me sad. Bobby Dorr, 99, Red Sox second baseman, who calmed down Ted Williams, and just a very fine individual, very nice family life, a fabulous role model. And the Lord's Prayer, I think I quoted this in the Monday class. Everyone asked me for copies. If anyone wants a copy, they're here, and leave, and whatever doesn't go today, I'll go tomorrow. And finally, a reminder that's especially important for people from Her Majesty's country, Shvut Ami, honoring Rebbe and Talmud, a guy named Rakefet and Harry M. Dura of Manchester and London. If anyone's interested in attending, it's in Ranana. I'm going to be there Friday through Sunday. Saturday night, December 15th, is the main event. And everyone is welcome to come. Harry M. Dura, recognized the name, came in Aliyah afterwards. Long story. Born in Manchester, raised in a Haredi home, went to a Haredi yeshiva. His father wouldn't let him come to Israel to study in DMT. It's a Zionist place, married to Rosh Yeshiva's daughter, and when he turned 30, OTD, off the derech, and when he turned 40, and he moved to London, did business there. Then when he turned 40, he asked the Ribbono Shel Olam, why am I alive? What's the blood in my veins? And someone told him to pick up yutorah.org, Rosh Yeshiva, Rakefet. And as they say, the rest is history. Gentlemen, tomorrow morning, I wouldn't miss the shiur for all the gold in Fort Knox. We're going back to Chicago, Rabbi Album, the Ritvaz, Rabbi David Miller, and a private mikvah in your home. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vidanya. And to the fine Messer family, thank you so much for honoring me with your presence. Sure.